On Midwest Week, more deaths at an Illinois veterans home, but this time from the coronavirus and this time in LaSalle and not Quincy. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Hannah Meisel, Statehouse Editor for Illinois Public Radio. So, Hannah, when did the outbreak occur at LaSalle's veterans home, and how many did it kill?
So the outbreak of COVID started in early November, and throughout November and December, it spread, and eventually the final death count, unfortunately, was 36 veterans, which represents more than a quarter of the residents at the LaSalle home.
Wow. Now, that was 8 months after the pandemic started here in the U.S. Was that long delay just by chance?
Well, I mean, the report that came out last week is a result of an investigation the governor called for a few weeks after the outbreak started. Notes that, yes, there were no infections at the LaSalle home. Actually, there was one infection at the LaSalle home in the first 8 months of COVID. But as time went on, if you remember last summer, infection numbers really decreased and declined. And so the investigation notes that things at the home got fairly lax. But as you remember, the COVID began to climb again in the fall as the nation experienced kind of second wave. And the infection got in and it spread like wildfire.
Now, the investigation that just was, the results were just released last week. What were some of the general findings?
Well, it was a 50 or so page report, and every single page just, it was really maddening to read, quite honestly. So let's start with the top. The Department of Veterans Affairs Director, Linda Chapalivia, who was a 16-year member of the Illinois House, a Democrat from Aurora, the report indicates that she sort of abdicated her responsibilities to her chief of staff. Her chief of staff was also performing duties from a role that never got filled. And this role was the senior homes administrator who was supposed to oversee Illinois' four veterans home. So this chief of staff is now doing three jobs, his own and the director's and the senior homes administrator. And of course, things began to fall off the wagon because he had too much on his plate. A similar scenario played out among leadership at the home. One of the infection control nurses also had two or three jobs that he was doing, and things like protocol and training, those are things that fell off the wagon. So the report says that a lack of preparedness, lack of COVID protocols, failure to communicate both at within the home and from the home to the Department of Veterans Affairs, and you know that that chain of communication, just utter failure at all levels. You know, very basic things like proper PPE, staff not wearing masks in employee-only areas of the home. When patients or residents of the veterans' home came back from the local hospital, they were not being quarantined. And reports, you know, the investigation found that it's likely the COVID came in from those visits to the hospital. And when residents were being tested, they were being commingled, folks who were infected and folks who were not. Roommates were commingling, and just very basic things, utter failures at a lot of levels.
Yeah, I think the thing that struck me most about the report, Hannah, was the fact that during the 8 months after the pandemic began, they had that 8 months to prepare, to train, to think, to, you know, come up, stockpile supplies, and yet somehow none of that happened in all that time.
That's right. The report notes that, and it's kind of mind-boggling. But like I said earlier, things like training, that those were responsibilities that fell to people who were already overloaded with other work. And as time went on, folks got more lax about those things. And, you know, for example, staff were supposed to self-certify that they had no COVID symptoms or high temperature when they came to work. But oftentimes, the front desk was left empty, and people were supposed to just kind of do a temperature check on themselves.
And it also was interesting that a lot of the people involved, including the man who was actually running the Department of Veterans Affairs, very few people had actual medical training or public health training or whatever you would be appropriate for running a place like this.
That's right. I mean, like you said, Tony Kolbeck, who was Linda Chapelivia's chief of staff, but the de facto director, since she pretty much put all of her responsibilities on him, he didn't have any medical experience. Like I mentioned earlier, the senior homes administrator, the job that he was also doing at the same time, that would be an ideal person to have medical experience. None of that. The director, Linda Chapelivia, didn't have any medical experience. And so the report noted that, you know, it would be pretty obvious when the state takes the responsibility of housing and taking care of these veterans, a lot of whom are medically fragile, it would be obvious to have to want to hire people with medical experience. Now, since then, in about a month ago, Governor Pritzker hired Terry Prince, who previously ran the Veterans Homes in Ohio, and he actually has that, you know, kind of medical experience overseeing that, to run the Veterans Homes here. But still, you know, it really makes you wonder.
Yeah, how about the veterans' families? How have they responded to all of this?
Well, back in December, the initial few families, through an attorney, announced that they were seeking to sue the state, and then took several months for them to get their legal filings together. But now one family of a veteran, a 90-something-year-old Korean War vet, sued the state for his death. He died, I think, around 10 days after he was diagnosed with COVID. And lots more families are preparing to sue the state. And, you know, if you remember the whole debacle with the Legionnaires outbreak at Quincy, that led the General Assembly several years back to raise the cap on how much a family could sue the state's Court of Claims for. And so the maximum now is $2 million, and I expect that all of the families who sue the state will be seeking that maximum $2 million.
And is all this going to be a problem for Governor Pritzker, do you think, Anna?
Oh, I think so, definitely. I mean, if we remember the Pritzker campaign, a lot of it he staked on what he called then-Governor Bruce Browner's fatal mismanagement of the outbreak of Legionnaires at Quincy. And a lot of Republicans, predictably, have noted that, you know, he turned that into a political issue and used it to his advantage. And now he's got this situation on his hands. So, absolutely, you know, we're already seeing a lot of Republicans, his opponents, and those who will back opponents that we don't even haven't even gotten into the gubernatorial race yet. They're going to make a huge, huge issue out of this. There were outbreaks at the Quincy home and the home at Manteno, but the outbreak at LaSalle was by far the largest.